Blog Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
All right. It is the Saints Happy Hour post game. I'm Ralph Marlboro. Maybe Kevin Held will join us eventually. Maybe Andrew. Who knows? But I'm here and I'm drunk and the Saints are 0-3. If you had Luke McCown going 31-38 for 310 yards, come to the window and collect your winnings. You know, it's a strange feeling because you think you know how the game's going to go and you play a bunch of different scenarios in your head. I didn't have the scenario of Luke McCown going and looking phenomenal. I mean, he played probably the best game of his career, and he didn't win. And look, I know. He had a bad throw at the end, and it got intercepted. And look, it was a meh throw, but the guy for Carolina made a great play. But besides that, McCown was perfect. He never made a bad throw the entire game of a near pick or like a decision where you were like, oh my God, what's he doing? I mean, for a backup quarterback to come in and do that, I mean, and the Saints still couldn't finish the game. He still couldn't win. I mean, that is extraordinary. And look, this defense, I mean, if you want to – I mean, people on Twitter are coming at me and arguing, oh, my God, the defense was fine. The Saints, for the third week in a row, had the ball with a chance to win. Just because the Saints had the ball with a chance to win doesn't absolve the defense – of being a shit show, okay? The defense was a falling down Carolina receiver from maybe not getting the ball back at all. I mean, Browner looked terrible. This team, you find me an NFL team with a worse defensive line than the Saints? All right, you find that for me. I'm waiting. Cameron Jordan's the only NFL quality defensive lineman they have. They're playing undrafted rookies at tackle. I mean, Anibali's a nice guy. He gives good effort. But, I mean, come on. Cam Newton had all day to throw today. I mean, you think what Carolina did today is bad? Wait until Dallas, with the best offensive line in football, road grades them next week for 900 yards. I just don't know. And Greg Olsen had a career first half, which I don't understand how you cannot figure out to cover the best Carolina receiver. And he was just running wide open in key spots. I mean, the Saints, they punt at the end of the first half up 10-7. It's a questionable call because it's fourth and about half a yard from their own 40. I mean, that's the stats tell you to go for it. You know, they punt, they want to pin Carolina back, and first play, Greg Olsen hits for 55 yards, he's wide open. I mean, this team, I mean, I'll give them credit, I'll give Sean Payton credit, they were prepared today, they played hard, but they just, I mean, you look at the Saints, they played about, they cannot play, they will not play any better, they will not look any better than they looked for the first quarter and a half when they built a 10-0 lead. They won't look any better than they looked that, probably the whole year. That's the problem when you're a bad football team. Your best performance, especially on the road, it only gets you a 10-0 lead, a 13-3 lead. You know, back when the Saints were an elite NFL team, when they played great for a quarter and a half, they were up 21-0. 21-3, 17-3. I mean, they were just boat racing teams. This team, they played as good as they could play for quarter, and they were up 10-0. I mean, I just, you know, at this point, I don't know what you expect of them. You can call in at 646-595-4450. You know, and look, This year, I mean, Drew Brees is going to be out for 2-3 weeks. I mean, the Saints are clear. I believe they're clearly hiding that. They're going to be. That's going to be where they are. You know, and Luke McCown, I think today he proved that that he can be pretty functional. He was outstanding today. I mean, I know Luke McCown's probably upset on the plane ride home. He's going to think that throw. I've watched it 5 or 6 times. You know, he's going to be sad about that. But on the upside, he probably guaranteed himself employment for the next 3 to 5 years because teams will look at this performance and they'll have this tape and they'll say, Luke McCown, if I have a decent offense and I can build a plan, he can be a competent backup quarterback and keep me afloat for a stretch of time. And so, Luke, you got that going for you. You know, but this defense, man, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, the funny thing with the Saints is their best corner right now, I think it's Devin Breaux, and I don't think it's close. I mean, I think Keenan Lewis might be pretty good when he gets back, but Breaux's really good, but Browner is terrible. I mean, I think you got to think about not playing Browner as much because the thing is, your future with Browner was sort of a patch for this year to sort of think you could be competitive in the NFC South and that sort of thing. But Breaux and Swan are so much better than him. And I don't know if it's the hurt knee or whatever, but I mean, the thing is with the Saints at this point is you play McCown because McCown clearly off of today's performance gives you a better chance to win and you want to try to win games. So playing Grayson at this point, you don't do that because McCown was phenomenal today and you don't do that. But everywhere else on your team, you play young kids, you know, you play Swan instead of Browner. To me, Calumet was good. I know the run game today was shaky, but the Saints offensive line really today held up nicely. They can't run the ball for 25 carries for 70 yards. I mean, that's atrocious. But they kept, you know, they ran the ball good in spots, and they wanted to keep McCown out of third and long because they didn't want Carolina to be able to tee off on him, and then he gets pressured, and then he makes mistakes, and they just kept him out of that. They just, you know, they threw a little bit on first down, but a lot of times they would run, if they didn't get it, they'd run on second down, and they just kept him in, even when it was third down, it was manageable. It was 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, you know, and they just kept him in really good situations to succeed. And I mean, they're going to win games eventually because they've had a chance to win all three of these games in the end, but I don't know when it's going to be. And, you know, Kevin, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Kevin, I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised. You think you know how the game's going to go, and I didn't factor in Luke McCown being phenomenal except for one throw and the Saints still losing. That didn't even factor into my thinking today.
I fucking tweeted during the game or late in the game. I said it's, you know, none of this is Luke McCown's fault, and if you were saying that in advance of the game, you were a goddamn liar. Look, most anybody with common sense or anybody who thinks reasonably or uses logic, like, we thought this game was going to be bad, like a blowout or just an absolute disaster from the word go, and it was not. I mean, this game, I got to be honest, this might have been more fun or more entertaining than the first two games of the season.
Oh, this game was a blast. And I said at the beginning of the show, the thing that's sort of, I guess not. I knew it going in, but today it really showed is that the problem for the Saints is they played. I don't care if Brees would have been playing or whatever. For a quarter and a half, they played as good as they could play, I think. When they had the 10-0 lead, the defense had got some stops. They were up 10-0. They can't play any better than that. And the problem, Kevin, is they played as good as they could play, and it only gave them a 10-0 lead.
Right.
That's their ceiling, and that's the problem, is that, you know, this team, and I said it to open the podcast, and you can jump in, I'm fighting with people on Twitter as we're having the show. You know, people are coming at me saying, well, it's not the defense's fault because the defense gave them a chance to win for the third straight week. And I said to them, I said, look, just because the offense has the ball with a chance to win late, it doesn't absolve the defense from being garbage during the game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, yeah, they had a chance to win. But that receiver for Carolina, he fell down. If he doesn't fall down, it's a completion. Carolina, there's a good chance they run out the clock. I mean, so let's not – I mean, this defense – Kevin, I know you're like me and you don't really know NFL rosters up and down. But if you find me a team with a worse defensive line than this, then the Saints have – find it for me. Find me a team with a worse defensive line than the Saints.
Oh, I'm sure – I mean, a worse defensive line? I don't know.
I mean, you got Cam Jordan and what? You know,
no
I crickets on the other end. You know?
Yeah.
The callers, you can call in at 646-595-4450. You know, Kevin, I mean, look, the thing is, people are – and even before the game, people were like, look, the Saints, it's a rebuilding year. They need to play Grayson as soon as possible. Today, after Luke McCown played, Luke McCown needs to play. Like, he gives them a great chance to win as long as Breeze is out, and he needs to play. And I'm not gonna even acknowledge the play Grayson people, even if they keep loosing. As long as McCown plays anywhere near what he played today, you got to play McCown because you got to try to win football games. But – for other spots,
well,
Kevin?
I'll say this. If the Saints get to, like, 0-6 or, you know, 0-6, like, 1-7
yeah,
or something, then,
not now.
then at that point I'll say play Grayson. Now, if McCown looks like crap for some reason, like, if he just completely shits the bed the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
and
maybe.
Breeze doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon, then I could maybe jump on the Grayson bandwagon. But I'm with McCown right now.
Astros won.
And
my day is better.
I'm with McCown. I didn't think I would be saying that, so I'm eating crow.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I mean, I thought the plan for Sean Payton was outstanding today. I mean, you could see it wasn't necessarily conservative in a sense. It's just they, Kevin, I could see they wanted to keep McCown out of third and longer than seven, you know, and they did a great job. The only knock I have on it is the punt at the end of the first half. It's fourth and a half a yard. Yeah, I know you're at your 40, but your defense is garbage. Just go for it. I mean, that's my only knock on the game plan. And Kevin, what did you think of the throw at the end? The only thing I'm going to say about that throw is the physical throw of it was eh. But imagine if it's reversed and the Saints are playing the game and Cam Newton makes that throw and Delvin Bro makes an interception like that. We're calling it great. We're making gifts. We're having a party. We're putting them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean –
you know,
I mean, look. I tweeted at the end of the game. I said that's a great interception. I mean, you can't say anything else. That was a great interception. The ball, like, I guess I didn't look at the mechanics of the throw. I just looked at the throw itself.
I thought it was going to.
Well,
it
looked
touchdown.
On target, and then when I saw the instant replay.
Yeah,
well, I was just
Kevin,
saying
when he threw it and his left his hand. I have a tendency. I've gotten in a good habit over the years of being able to not follow the ball on the TV, and I'll just peek, and I just peeked at Cooks, and I was like, that's a touchdown. Like, that's what I thought, because Cooks had him beat, and dude just recovered and made a freaking phenomenal play, you know?
That was it, yeah. It was that, like, he jumped. It was a great jump. He angled himself right. He stretched out as far as a defender could be. and he made the catch. Like, if the defender is not there, or if the obviously if the defender is not there, that should be a touchdown. If the defender is off slightly, that's a touchdown. The ball looked like it was going right to Cooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. Right, the bad thing was, I mean, if he catches it, I think they probably would have had too much time left for Carolina.
Oh, dude, at that point, let me tell you, at that point, I would have taken that. I'd have taken that.
You take your score when you can get it. And one thing overlooked in this, Kevin, is that extra point was huge. You know, I mean, maybe if he makes the extra point, it's 20. Well, I mean, maybe they play it a little different. Maybe they play it safer because they were the 25. Maybe they play it a little safer, but I mean, you could say it came into play a little. You don't think they play it any different there, though, if it's 27-24?
I don't think so. I think Carolina does the field goal and then they get the touchdown anyway. So
yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin. I mean, it's weird because the Saints are so close in these games, but they feel so far away. Is that an odd feeling that I have? You know,
no.
They have. You know.
No. Like like I was saying at the beginning, this one felt more fun because this game felt a lot closer and was a lot closer than the first two. I mean. And that's weird to say.
But
it was just like it felt like the defense. Like obviously, I'm not going to say the defense is any good. It felt like the defense made a few more stops, and it felt like the offense was making the most of their possessions, even though they could have like they were just chewing up clock. I mean,
yeah.
This was a Kevin Held offense, like designed offense. Chew up as much clock as possible. Always chew up as much clock as possible.
No, I think they played
and it. Didn't, and it, you know, it just sadly wasn't
it,
enough.
It didn't
this
work.
Point
I mean,
is shit.
You know, the thing is, and I say it all the time, is if you suck at the line of scrimmage as a football team, you suck. And the Saints, they were playing two undrafted guards today. Their defensive line is a bunch of undrafted guys and rookies and 900-year-old Kevin Smith. And, you know, they aren't very good. But the one thing I did tweet out, Kevin, is the 2015 Saints, they aren't very good. They're probably terrible. But their 2015 draft was definitely not terrible. They have found players. I know, you know, that play that right before the half, where that play that Greg Anthony caught it, Anthony got lost in coverage, but he closed on him and tackled him, and he held him to a field goal. Kikaha, still playing great, had a sack. Swan had a bunch of pass breakup. Murphy ran back a punt for a touchdown. First time the Saints have had that in 66 games. I mean, the draft they had in 2015, Kevin, is the kind of draft they're going to need in 2016 and 2017 to get them back to relevance.
So go over the 2015 draft and who's playing from the 2015
draft. Well, I mean,
draft.
Obviously Pete isn't playing yet, but you can see the end for Streaks. I mean, I would expect that Pete is going to be on the Teron Armstead plan of 2013, where Armstead played the last 3 weeks. I would expect Pete to start playing around probably a little bit after Halloween. Pete will be playing. And then you have Anthony. Yeah, he had some bad plays today with run fits. You could see it. But, man, he's going to be good, and he's got athletic talent. He's going to be great. Kikaha, I don't know if he's going to be a really good pass rusher, but he gives great effort. He gets to the ball. He's going to be at worst, a better version of Scott Shanley, that type of player, because I think he's more athletic and he knows what to do and he's got a nose for the football. So I think he's going to be a better version of that. So you got that going for you. So you got those two guys. You got Murphy, ran back a punt today. Even if he's only a return guy, that's well worth the 7th-round pick. You got Swan, who they traded up for. He's really good in run defense. He looks like a really, really good corner. So, I mean, Kevin, that's four guys. Even if Pete is a dud, that's four hits in your draft. And if Pete is a functional, above-average starting tackle, that's five guys you got from your draft. That's a fucking home run for your draft. I don't care. I don't care what you say, because in a good draft, you get two guys and a contributor. Anything above that is a home run. If you get five guys contributing, that's a home run, and that's the kind of thing that is a foundation going forward. Now, the thing for the Saints is their lines suck. They won't have – but, I mean, Drew Brees may take a huge discount next year if they keep him, so they may have some cap room that you don't think about. They can go get some guards because the Saints value guards more than other teams, so the Saints can pay a little bit more for a couple of guards and upgrade there. The problem is their defensive line sucks, you know. I mean, they had a couple plays today where if they just had, like the play that Cam Newton made on the third down, Kevin, if they just had an average defensive line, I think they'd probably won today. I mean, you just give the same, give me two average defensive tackles, and I think with the secondary the Saints have, you'd probably bump them up from like a worst, one of the worst four defenses in the league, you probably bump them up to like 18 or 19 if they just had NFL replacement level defensive tackles.
Hmm.
You're disagreeing with me there?
No. I'm just, you know, like mulling that over because, like, are you referring to there was a. I think it was in the second half where the defense looked like they were going to be able to sack Cam Newton, and Cam Newton kind of just scrambled away for first down. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he had all day to throw, and he scrambled out. I mean, put it this way. I think with this secondary they have now, because, I mean, Browner was terrible today. But, like I said, Bro is good. Swan is good. I think, you know, Keenan Lewis is going to be back soon. I think with the corners they have now, and Vaccaro is back to playing like he played in 2013. He looked good today. I think if they had I know Junior Gallette was a crazy person and a knucklehead, but if he wasn't and they had him on the team, Kevin, I think this defense would be close to average, you know, because one pass rusher would really, really help. Either a pass rusher or a competent defensive tackle would really help this defense.
I would agree with that. Well, let me ask you this though. So, and you know, I'm sure much to the chagrin of some of the people on Saints Twitter who think that it's ludicrous to talk about what you're going to do in April of 2016.
No, it's not.
Would you target offensive line or would you go defensive line in the draft for starters?
Ooh, it's tough. I mean, to me, Kevin, if I'm the Saints and I still think, I mean, even though they've been competitive in these three games so far at 0-5, I still think the number one pick for them is in play at about 35%. You know, and if you're picking number one and you have a team that wants Hackenberg for Penn State or whoever.
Oh, come on and say it, Ralph. Come on and say it.
John, you're the king of the trade down. But, I mean, to me, Kevin, it's hard to say because I would lean defensive line because here's the thing. We don't know what you're going to have in Pete. You know, let's say it's worst case scenario, and by Owens, the Saints are 0-6. You know, say the Saints are 0-6 by 0-6 or 0-7 or 1-8, and they play Pete. And by the end of the year, Pete is looking like Armstead looked in 2013. You know, Kevin. Then you can look at it and you can say, okay. I got Armstead on the left tackle. I got Pete at right tackle. I got Unger at center. I need two guards, but I ain't picking a guard in the goddamn top 10. That's for sure, right? So then you really have to think about the defensive line. Hell, you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I I didn't think you were asking a question there.
No, I mean,
like
you asked me. I said defensive line. What do you think? Where do you go? If you can't trade down, which is what you ultimately want to do, but if you can't trade down,
okay.
If
you can't trade down, and you've got a guy on like I'm looking defense. I'm looking defensive line. If you've got a guy that looks like a surefire, I say defense. I think even if you're looking at a guy that looks like he's, you know, a good run stopper and a guy that can maybe get like 4 sacks a year, I'd say I'd cam over a guy over an offensive lineman. I don't know.
Well, you just need the thing is, you just need competence. You need competence at defensive tackle. You know?
But here's the thing. And again, I'm the king of trading down. If you can't trade down, I feel like you've got to.
You got to go the sure thing.
Right. I feel like you've got to go sure thing in the next 2 years while you know. Because I'm still thinking about Drew Brees. If Drew Brees is a full recovery, and he goes into 20s, and he goes in at the end of the year and going into next year, he's as healthy and he's perfectly healthy.
Gotcha.
I still think you've got those two years left where he is very good, and then you've probably got a couple more years where he's okay.
But Kevin, what do you do if you're the Saints? And Drew Brees has a $27 million cap hit, and he says, and you go to him and you're like, look, we need you to reduce your cap number, and we need to pay you not $27 million, we need to pay you $10 to $13 million as a quarterback, because you're 36, you're 36, going on 37.
I can't see him taking that. I was going to say 19. I would have said 19 or 20. I don't know. I would say 19 million.
He's got to be willing to give them massive cap relief. And I don't know what the number is or what the average is, but he's got to be willing to give them massive cap relief. You know, I think, Kevin. You know.
I agree. I agree that he's got to be willing to give them cap room and a lot of it, but I think we're trying to carry an ice cube through hell if we're going to expect Drew Brees to take half of what's coming to him next year and say forget it.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I mean, the thing is what's his market going to be? I mean, his agent will sniff around, but what will his market be for teams? Because he's 37, and clearly his body is starting to betray him. Now, I can list you off a stupid team, the Redskins. They do stupid things all the time.
Yep.
I can list you off a team that I'm telling you, if Drew Brees and the Saints come at an impasse, and you have the Texans, who they're going to win low-end 6 games, high-end 9 games, because they don't have a goddamn quarterback. If you're the Saints, and I hate to discuss this in September, but Kevin, if you're the Saints, and you are at a loggerhead with Drew Brees, and the Texans come along and say, hey, Saints, we'll give you a number one pick this year and a number three pick next year, or a number one this year and a number three this year in 2016. We want Drew Brees. We'll do the deal that he wants to do because we're so desperate for a quarterback. If you're the Saints, do you pull the ripcord?
I'm sorry. I tell you what, I'm listening to the deal. This is more about me wanting to, like, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, I do not want to see Drew Brees go through his fat Elvis period.
Do you want his fat Elvis period in with the Texans? Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. And so here's the deal. Dennis Leary had this joke, which I don't know if he ripped it off from Bill Hicks or not. Who knows? But it was Dennis Leary who ended up telling the joke, so whatever. But he was making the point that he was sort of glad, in a sense, that John Lennon got when he did, because John Lennon died at sort of like the height of his popularity when he was still turning out good music, and he ended up not going through Fat Elvis period. Like, he ended up not dying on the toilet. He ended up not becoming a bloated shell of his former self.
Yeah, you die at your peak. It's like Princess Diana. For all time, she's 34
exactly.
years old and perfect.
Exactly, exactly. So with Breeze, it's like, okay, you trade him, and you can say, look, we got the best that this guy could possibly ever offer for X number of years, and had he stayed with the Chargers or had he gone anywhere else, there's no way he would have been as good as he was than when he was with New Orleans. And no matter where he goes, he will, in all likelihood, not be as good even as
mm-hmm.
he was in his last year or two with the Saints. So we will have had Drew Brees at his absolute peak
mm-hmm.
for that great stretch. So I would almost rather not have that period where we're all sitting there wondering, man, do we cut him? You know, do we bench him? Do we do all this? And if somebody wants to come along and say, we'll trade for him and we'll give him the money, and you can do that and just say, listen, we're going to do this and send Drew Brees out to where he will be playing for a team that's not rebuilding, that has a chance to keep going to the postseason, and we'll take our, you know, picks and we'll go ahead and just, you know, I mean, like, that's the most surefire way to say, listen, we're rebuilding. Period. We are in rebuilding mode, and we are not going to, and I would almost make a point of it and just say, listen, we're not going to, I think you get those sort of like those sources that everybody jokes about with Juge to come out and say the team didn't want to waste the final years of Drew Brees' career.
Yeah.
And so you try and send him off. You try and send him to somewhere where he'll be happy. And hey,
yeah, and look,
if it's Houston, it's an AFC team. So you don't have
yeah.
to worry about meeting him. I mean, I don't know what the schedule is going to be like the next couple of years.
Well, they won't play Houston again for four. If they traded him to Houston, let's say, they wouldn't play again. They won't play Houston again until 2019, and the chances of Drew Brees being, or 2020. So the chances of Drew Brees still playing are slim. And here's the thing, you know, look, you can say to the fan, you know, you can. You know, as much as the Saints' salary cap is just a dumpster fire, like, you can get rid of Brees, and you could get rid of if Bird doesn't play this year, you could get rid of Bird. You could clean up all your salary cap mess. You can in the NFL, you could do it in 1 year. You could just bite the bullet and just suck. And they might suck this year, but you could do it next year. You could just bite the bullet and have McCown, and maybe you're going to work in Grayson, and you just go 3-13 again. And then in 2017, you got the clean slate. Hopefully you had a great draft in 2015. You had a great draft in 2016. You had two number ones back-to-back years. And you have a bunch of cap room. You start adding people. You're going to have to overpay because you're terrible, and that's what bad teams have to do. You have to overpay maybe. But maybe, you know, on the bright, maybe Grayson is ready to go by 2017 and you're competitive again. I mean, you know, it's a hard call, and we got a lot of season to go. The interesting thing is, to me, is, you know, people were saying that Peyton had lost it. He wasn't that great of a coach. And he's got them still. Today, Kevin, they were locked in. They were ready to play. And if you want to knock decisions by Peyton, that's fine. But don't tell me that they weren't ready to play and that they were ready to go. So it'll be interesting to see, though, Kevin. The Saints, as bad as they've been, you know, they've had 7-9 bumps under Peyton. But they've never had this malaise of not playing for anything. I wonder how they're going to be now that we get to October and they're 1-5, 2-6. Will they still, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Kevin, let me ask you this. I think Dallas is going to run for 9,000 yards Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be bad next week.
Yeah. And the shame of it is,
Brandon Weeden finally looked
competent.
Brandon Weeden finally looked pedestrian. Although, you know, will the Saints' defense be able to continue that? I don't know. But
just don't see it, man.
This is a situation where you have to put 7 guys, sometimes 8. In the box and
here's
just say, fuck it, Brandon Weeden, you got to beat us. You got to beat us.
Yeah.
They're not having Tony Romo. They don't have Dez Bryant. And is this one in New Orleans?
It is. I'm going.
It's in New Orleans, and it's a primetime game, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what you have to do. This is fuck or walk, as they say in Glengarry Glen Ross. You put 7 or 8 in the box. You dare Brandon Weeden to beat you on the road in prime time without Dez Bryant. If the Cowboys can beat the Saints like that, then I think that the Saints fans they have to acknowledge, even the insane ones have to acknowledge, this is a house money season.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, is Kevin is the difference, and we'll get into this more tomorrow, but on the podcast. But the difference between the talent level of Dallas's offensive line and the Saints' defensive line is so wide. It's not like where you might have the best defensive line in football. For a team, let's say, it's whatever team you think might, the Texans, let's say it's the Texans. They have the best defensive line in football. And the Saints' offensive line, it's kind of average by NFL standards or not very good, but it's still got some players. You got Armstead, and you got Unger, and you got decent, you know, if Evans is playing, and you got some decent pieces. Calumet looked good today. So even if it's an average or below average, the gap between the best NFL offensive line and an average offensive line, it's not that great. I mean, the average defensive line can have a day and be great, but this Saints defensive line, Kevin, it's atrocious. And I just don't see how it's going to be good. I mean, you have a guy, when I would argue with people on Twitter in the summer, and I know, by the way, I was completely right, Nick Underhill and all the legit media people, when I told you this defensive line was trash and these undrafted free agents wouldn't amount to a hill of beans, I was right. The one thing I was right about that. The thing is that those people were counting on was that Akeem Hicks would at least be decent, NFL average quality, or since it was a contract year, he'd be very good. Kevin, he's atrocious. And that makes this defensive line, as scary as it is, it might be even 15% worse than I thought. Is it worse than you expected it to be?
The defensive line, it's pretty goddamn bad. It's pretty goddamn bad.
Kevin, go ahead.
No. Say it.
This is not fun, because this is a not fun the conversation that we're going to have today, and we're going to have on the podcast, and I'm going to have to write a column about it, but it's not fun. And that is the best Saints wide receiver of all time, Marcus Colston. He needs not to play much anymore because he's terrible and he's old and he can't catch the ball. And I don't like bagging on the worst. I don't like bagging on him and telling him he's terrible. And you know, it's easy to do that for players like Jason David and Sullivan, who never did jack for the Saints, and you just want him gone, or Brandon Browner even. But Marcus Colson's a top five player in the history of the Saints, and he's kind of awful now, Kevin, and I don't think he should be playing much.
Yeah, it was bad. It's bad. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is I know it's the goddamn proverbial apples to oranges, because it's like, oh, you got him in round seven. He was almost Mr. Irrelevant. Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm aware that he played football at a place that no longer has a fucking football program. I'm aware of all of that. That said, this is what I'm trying to avoid with Drew Brees. This is what I hope to avoid.
Yeah, that's
I do
a funny
not
thing.
Want to see Drew Brees languishing behind a shitty offensive line, trying to get things done. Drew Brees is not the final two or three years of Drew Brees do not need to be Archie Manning.
No, and here's the thing that just makes me sad is that I have friends who have like kids that are like 8, 9 to like 13. And that's the age where, like, if your dad likes football, you really like football, and you start to watch it, and you can understand what you're watching, and you can make judgments on players, and you can say, I hate that player, that same player. And, like, a guy on Twitter I follow, Duris or Boat Lawyer, and he says, he has kids, I think they're 9 and 11, and he says they hate Colston because he's terrible, and he says it just breaks his heart. That's the thing with me, like Colston, like, 2011 Colston, when they lost that playoff game to San Francisco, I know Jimmy Graham was awesome in that playoff game. Colston was equally as awesome. I mean, and I don't know what to say. I don't want to see Colston being terrible, dropping balls anymore. But thanks to all the 10 people that listened in the chat room. Kevin, final thoughts on the game. You got 90 seconds. Go.
Here's my final thought that's completely unrelated to the game, and only because I promised to mention this on Twitter. If you go to a restaurant, you need to tip your goddamn waitress. Some knucklehead Saints fan on Twitter said that if I go to a restaurant and I spend more than $50, don't expect a tip. Bullshit, brother. Bullshit. if you can't afford a tip, don't go out to eat. Don't go out to eat. Eat a ham sandwich, man. Stay home and eat some ham. Don't go out.
Here's the thing. The only reason you shouldn't tip your waitstaff, to me, I will always tip 10 to 15%, even if they're abominable. The only time I will not tip is if they are horrible service and they are rude. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Final thoughts on this game.
I don't know. I just feel I feel so bad for McCown. Like that would have been phenomenal if they'd have won this game today. I don't know. I mean, we're looking at 3 or 4 wins, and it sucks to be in the neighborhood in the NFL that's irrelevant. We are now in the Cleveland, Tampa, New Orleans, Raiders, Washington neighborhood of complete freaking irrelevance, and it sucks. And I don't know what else to say.
There you go.
So, but join us tomorrow. We're going to recap it all. Dave will be with us. Andrew will be with us. So for Kevin, for all the people in the chat room, you didn't ask any questions, but we had about 40 of you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't let the Saints get you down. It was fun today, wasn't it? Later.
Oh, sure.